All right, let's jump into Exodus chapters 1 and 2. We're doing a deep dive today. And as always, we've got these great excerpts from a Bible study guide to help us out. Should be a fascinating look into, well, you know, a really important part of biblical history. So we start with the Israelites, you know, Jacob's descendants, and they're migrating to Egypt during a famine. Remember God's promise to Abraham about a great nation? Well, this migration is all part of that promise playing out. But then a new pharaoh comes into power. And he's really scared of the Israelites' growing numbers. So he does what, well, a lot of insecure rulers in history have done. He tries to control them, you know, through enslavement. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because Pharaoh's attempt to, like, limit the Israelites, it actually makes them grow even more. It's a pattern we see all the time throughout history. Oppression, I mean, it often makes the people, it tries to suppress even stronger. And it's during this oppression that we meet these amazing women, Shiphrah and Puah, the Hebrew midwives. Now, Pharaoh, he orders them to do something absolutely terrible, to kill all the newborn Hebrew boys.
I mean, can you imagine the weight of that order? But they refuse. And they're not just passively resisting either. They use their knowledge of childbirth to outsmart Pharaoh. They tell him that Hebrew women, well, they give birth so fast they can't even get there in time. It's just brilliant. Such courage and cleverness all mixed together. And it saves so many lives. Their defiance, it reminds us that we can resist injustice, even when it seems like we have no power. It's an important lesson from these women. And then right in the middle of all this oppression and resistance, we have the dramatic entrance of Moses' mother, and she's desperate to save him from Pharaoh's decree. So she puts him in a basket on the Nile River, like a little ark, just trusting it to the currents. And here's where things get really interesting. He's found and adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Talk about a twist of fate. The Hebrew child destined to free his people from slavery. He's raised in the palace of the oppressor. The irony is incredible, and it makes you think, how did that upbringing shape Moses? You know, how did it prepare him to be a leader? We actually see a glimpse of that future role when Moses is a young man.
He sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he steps in, you know, and kills the Egyptian, defending his people. Now, that act shows us Moses has a real passion for justice. But it also tells us that leadership takes more than just good intentions. You need wisdom, you need discernment, and the ability to act at the right time in the right way. Moses' actions, I mean, they were driven by a good desire to protect his people. But they end up forcing him to run away from Egypt. He has to live in exile in Midian. So Moses goes from this luxurious life in the Egyptian palace to the rugged wilderness of Midian. It's a huge change. He goes from being a prince to being a shepherd. And he spends 40 years tending sheep. It's so different from the life he knew. But here's the thing. Those years in the wilderness, they weren't wasted. They actually shaped Moses in really deep ways. He learned humility, patience, and he developed this connection with nature. And you know what? Those qualities, they turn out to be essential when he's called to lead his people to freedom. But back in Egypt, well, the Israelites are suffering. They cry out to God. It's like a symphony of pain and longing for deliverance.
And the scripture tells us that God hears their cry. But what's really amazing is this. God's response, it was already in motion, long before they cried out to him. Remember Moses, you know, how he was saved as a baby and how he ended up in a position to maybe free his people. This reminds us that God is sovereign. He has a plan. And it's unfolding even when we can't see it. It's a powerful message. Even when we feel alone in our struggles, God is working. His timing is perfect, and he always keeps his promises. Even when it seems like he's silent, his plan is moving forward, often in ways we could never imagine. So we left off with the Israelites crying out to God and God hearing their plea, but remember, God's plan for their deliverance was already in motion. Moses, their future leader, was out there living in Midian, and it really shows us, even when we feel lost and alone, God's working behind the scenes.
And, you know, speaking of Moses, let's talk about the incredible moment at the burning bush. There he is tending his sheep, and suddenly this bush bursts into flames. But here's the thing, it's not burning up. It just keeps burning like a blaze with the presence of God. And then from the fire, God speaks to Moses, calling him by name. I mean, imagine that moment, the awe, the fear. It's just otherworldly, right? And then God gives Moses this mission, this huge task, go back to Egypt to Pharaoh and demand that he release the Israelites. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Moses, I'd be terrified. I mean, he already ran away from Egypt once, and now he has to go back and confront the most powerful man in the world. It would take a lot of faith to say yes to that. But that's exactly what Moses does. He wrestles with his fears. He even tells God about his doubts, and ultimately he chooses to trust God. It's a powerful reminder that faith isn't about not being afraid. It's about moving forward, even when we are afraid. So Moses goes back to Egypt with God's authority and that staff, which becomes a symbol of God's power. He stands before Pharaoh, the shepherd, facing an emperor, and he delivers God's message, "Let my people go."
But Pharaoh, Well, he's not exactly easy to convince. He laughs at Moses' request. He hardens his heart. He even makes things harder for the Israelites. It seems like a completely hopeless situation. And that's where the plagues come in. Now, these aren't just some random natural disasters. Each plague is like a direct attack on the Egyptian gods, a way of dismantling their whole belief system. And with each plague, the stakes get higher. It starts with the Nile River, the lifeblood of Egypt turning to blood. Then comes the frogs, the gnats, the flies, disease, livestock boils, hail, locusts. And finally, this darkness so thick you could feel it. It's this incredible display of God's power meant to break Pharaoh's stubbornness and make him acknowledge the one true God. And it's interesting how Pharaoh's reaction to the plagues shows us how complicated human pride and stubbornness can be with every plague. He kind of wavers, he's scared. He tries to bargain. He even agrees to let the Israelites go. But then as soon as things get a little easier, his heart hardens again. It's this cycle of fear and pride that keeps him from surrendering to God's will.
And then we come to the last plague, the most devastating one, the death of the firstborn. It's heartbreaking, really a stark reminder of what happens when we defy God. God tells Moses to instruct the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb and put its blood on their doorposts. This blood would be a sign for the angel of death to pass over their homes, sparing their firstborn. And that's what happens. The angel of death goes through Egypt and takes the life of every firstborn son, from Pharaoh's own son to the firstborn of every slave. The cries of grief were everywhere. It was just a moment of incredible sorrow and judgment. And finally, after this unimaginable loss, Pharaoh gives in. He begs Moses to lead to take the Israelites and just go. He even sends them away with gifts. He just wants them and the God who brought such devastation gone. You'd think he would have learned his lesson, wouldn't you? But human pride is a powerful thing. Even after seeing God's power, Pharaoh's heart is still hard. So the Israelites are leaving, and Pharaoh changes his mind again. He regrets letting them go, regrets losing all that free labor, and he sets off with his army to chase them down, determined to get them back.
And that brings us to the Red Sea. The Israelites, freshly freed from slavery, are trapped between the Egyptian army and this impossible obstacle. It's a moment of pure tension and fear. Their new freedom is hanging by a thread. But this is where God's power is really shown in the most dramatic way. Moses raises his staff and something unbelievable happens. The Red Sea splits open. Okay, so we're at the Red Sea, right? The Israelites are trapped between, well, the Egyptian army that's chasing them down and this huge body of water. I mean, it's a moment of complete desperation. But like we've seen throughout this whole deep dive, God, he's kind of an expert at turning impossible situations into these like amazing displays of power. And that's exactly what happens here. Moses raises his staff and the sea actually splits open. A dry path appears right through the middle of it. But you know, this event, the parting of the Red Sea, it's not just like some cool visual effect. It's this major turning point in the Israelites' journey. And it has this really deep symbolic meaning. Just think about it. The sea, it represents chaos, right?
All those forces of destruction that like threaten to overwhelm us. But God, with his power, he brings order to all that chaos. He creates a path where there wasn't one before, a way for his people to escape. So the Israelites, they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground, leaving behind the darkness of Egypt and walking into the light of freedom. And then the waters crash back together, swallowing Pharaoh's army. It's a total victory, and it makes their liberation complete. But here's the thing. Freedom from slavery doesn't mean everything is going to be easy. The Israelites, they might have escaped Egypt, but they're not in the promised land yet. They still have this long, tough journey ahead of them through the wilderness, a journey that's going to test their faith and show them who they really are. And let's be real, their reaction to these challenges isn't always great. They face hunger, thirst, this scorching heat, and the constant threat of being attacked. And what do? They complain, they whine, they even start questioning Moses' leadership. We've all been there, right? When things get tough, it's easy to forget the big picture, to forget how faithful God is, and just give in to fear and doubt.
But here's what's amazing. Even with all their flaws, their doubts, and all their times of rebelling, God remains faithful. He takes care of them in these incredible ways. He sends manna from heaven to feed them, and water bursts out of a rock to quench their thirst. Then at Mount Sinai, he gives them the Ten Commandments. It's like their moral compass, a set of laws that are meant to guide them toward what's right and build a justice society. It's a major moment for them, you know, becoming a people, separating them from all the other nations. But even with all of this, the Israelites, they still struggle to obey God. They build a golden calf, which is this blatant act of idolatry. I mean, they're turning away from the very God who freed them from slavery. It shows how easily we can become unfaithful even after we've seen God's miracles firsthand. It shows that being free from outward oppression doesn't necessarily mean we're free from the idols in our hearts. But God, in his incredible mercy, he forgives them. He makes a new covenant with them and says he'll still take them to the promised land. And he keeps guiding them patiently, leading them towards the future he has planned.
So this wraps up our deep dive into Exodus chapters 1 and 2. It's a story that's both epic and deeply personal. It's about slavery and freedom, oppression and deliverance, doubt and faith. It reminds us about God's power, his faithfulness, and his never-ending love for his people. But it also makes us ask some tough questions. What are the Egypts we need to escape in our own lives? What are the wilderness experiences that are shaping us and making our faith stronger? And how can we be like Moses, learning to trust God even when things are uncertain and full of challenges? Keep searching and keep learning, my friend. The journey of faith is full of surprises, and it's in those unexpected moments that we often learn the most about ourselves and about the God who guides us.